The reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the God. Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and attitudes of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Well, did you see the wedding yesterday of Prince Harry and Meghan? What a wonderful celebration. Doesn't it just warm your heart to witness two people getting married who are so clearly in love with one another? As human beings, we're created to have relationships. The quest for true connection in our relationship and the pain that comes up when this quest is frustrated is a large part of our stories as human beings. We want good relationships with our family members, with friends, with neighbours, with work colleagues. And ultimately, we long for closeness, for intimacy. We long to be accepted, to be encouraged. We long for love. Bishop Michael Curry gave the address at the wedding yesterday and said this: "If it's not about love, it's not about God." The Bible says this, 1 John 4, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You see, God created a perfect world. God created human beings to be in relationship with him. But sadly, humanity turned from him. Sin separated humanity from the holy God, creating a barrier. And Jesus came to rescue us, to take that barrier away, to pay the price for our sin on the cross, And in Jesus, we see what God is like. Relationship, closeness is possible. At Pentecost, God comes as close as is physically possible to us by his Spirit. Pentecost holds open the possibility that we can enjoy and delight in the love of God. So let's look what happened to the disciples on that very first Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So if Pentecost is about relationship, then not surprisingly, it's going to be about communication too. The disciples were enabled to speak in other tongues. We learn further on in the reading that they were literally enabled by the Spirit to speak in other languages so that all the nationalities represented there recognized their own languages being spoken. Now, speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this doesn't mean that the tongue is always a recognizable language of the world, as was the case on the first Pentecost. The gift of tongues is the Spirit-prompted ability to pray and praise God in a heavenly dialect that's not related to anything spoken on earth, such as German or Swahili or Mandarin or English. The Holy Spirit personally crafts or creates a special and unique language that enables a Christian to speak to God in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. This gift isn't a human language that one might encounter in some foreign country, but a Spirit-empowered capacity to speak meaningful words that are only understood by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you're lost for words, if you have the gift of tongues, you're able to continue speaking to God without the need of knowing what you're saying. The Apostle Paul speaks a lot about the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, starting with these words. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So Paul is saying here that the gift of tongues is the gift of a prayer language used to speak to God. And Paul goes later on in that chapter to say that tongues is also a form of praise and a way in which we give thanks to God. And another gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of being able to interpret the tongue. Now, my first experience of the gift of tongues happened whilst attending a church service many, many years ago, long before I knew that God was going to call me to be a vicar. We'd just finished singing two or three worship songs, and all of a sudden, somebody spoke out in a loud voice in a tongue, a series of words that didn't make any sense whatsoever to me. And this went on for quite a few seconds. And then the person leading the service said, "That's the gift of tongues you've just heard." And as it was spoken out like that, the Lord will have given the gift of interpretation of tongues to someone here, or will be about to give that gift to someone here. So if you feel you can interpret what was just said, that you understand what God was saying through those words, please share with us now. Well, a friend of mine called Maggie, who was a really quiet, shy lady, then spoke out what had been said in the words. And as Maggie shared the words, she spoke with a confident authority in a voice that I'd never heard her use before. The leader then thanked God for speaking to us, and we continued worshipping. Well, at the end of the service, I was desperate to go speak to Maggie to ask her what had happened. She explained that her heart was beating really fast, and she just knew that God was speaking to her and that she was able to understand the words that he wanted to speak out for the church, words of encouragement. She said that she knew she just had to open her mouth and speak. So if God does give someone a tongue to speak out in a worship series, a worship service like that that I experienced, he always gives the gift of interpretation to someone else. Now, in most cases, God gives people the gift of tongues as a personal prayer language to be used one-to-one. So when praying, if you just run out of your own words of how you want to praise and thanks God, or if you're just lost for words on how you should pray for a person, you speak to God in the special tongue, in that spiritual language that God gives in the situation, connecting with him. And Paul refers to both praying and singing in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Paul exercised his gift of tongues in private in the context of his personal devotional intimacy with God. So quite simply, speaking in tongues or singing in tongues is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Well, sometimes when a person is prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that ability to speak in a different tongue to pray to God is instantly given to the person. Now, this gift of tongues isn't given to everyone who's filled with the Holy Spirit. God gives different gifts to different people. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So he knows what's best for us. Such is the wonder of his generosity and grace. I know that there are members of our church family here who God has given the spiritual gift of tongues to use in prayer and praise. You see, God wants to communicate with us as a friend would, face to face. He wants us to know him, to know what he's like as a person, to enjoy communicating with him. He also wants to communicate to us and through us. Joel predicted a time would come when anyone would be able to speak forth the things of God, because one day it would be possible for anyone to have a relationship with him. From our reading today, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So how do we know when God is speaking? God speaks in many ways. Through scripture, preaching, through nature, visions, dreams, impressions, repeated phrases coming into our minds, a deep sense of knowing, good advice. God speaks to all his children, and we're all faced with the task of learning how to recognize when God is speaking to us and respond to what he's saying, and sometimes to communicate what we believe he's saying to others in a loving way. We all have to learn to recognize his voice. And to do this, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. If we're not willing to be led by the Spirit, how can we call ourselves believers in the living God? We might as well describe ourselves as believers in a historical God limited to what he did in past times, who leaves us to make decisions about life for ourselves as best as we can. I'm a believer in a living God who speaks and directs individuals and his church today, just as he's been doing from the beginning, since he created the world. Jesus did what his Father wanted him to do. And in the light of Pentecost, so can we, by discerning what the Holy Spirit is saying. Pentecost brings the experience of God, his love, and his voice very near. God was pleased to pour out his Spirit on the disciples at Pentecost, despite everything, not because of anything about them. Thankfully, we can all come as close as they did, and on the same basis that they did, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We turn from our life without Jesus. He forgives us all that is past, and he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. And from then on, we need to be filled with the Spirit and go on being filled in order to live the Christian life. As Christians, each of us can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we're to do anything of value, we must have him as the source of our power. Think of yourselves as being similar to a vacuum cleaner in your home, and I'm not talking about a cordless one. I'm talking about one with a flex and a plug. A vacuum cleaner has a specific purpose, but if it's not plugged in and receiving power, it is useless. It depends on another source to make it effective. If you pull the plug out on a vacuum cleaner, it just won't work. It has no effect. And as Christians, we're like that. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not effective. We may be able to do some things on our own, but we can't fulfill the purposes God has for us without his empowering. We need to depend on God. Peter's confidence to speak to the crowd in our reading today, the courage he needed, the words he needed, were given to him by the Holy Spirit. I can only do what I do because I'm equipped by the Holy Spirit. Yesterday at the wedding, the whole theme of the talk was love. It's only when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, really connected to God, that we can truly know that we're loved by him. That was my first experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I knew for the very first time that God was real, he was alive, and that he totally loved me. Even though I'd been to church for many years at that time, I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to really know that I was loved by God. And the first time I was filled with the Holy Spirit, God took away my fear of the dark. It wasn't a scary experience being filled with God's Holy Spirit. It was simply a real sense of being totally and unconditionally loved, full of peace, and knowing that I was accepted. God is here with us already by his Spirit. But I believe he wants to draw even closer to us as individuals. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He won't force himself into anyone's life, so you've nothing to fear at all. He knows how you're feeling right now at this very moment. Nothing is going to happen to you without your permission. But can I ask you, if you would, to just close your eyes for a moment, please? Just while I ask you a question. Have you asked Jesus to be Lord in all your life every single area of your life. This is different from saying that you believe in Jesus. This is giving Jesus permission to be the Lord of your whole life, to come into your life, to be your Lord and Savior, to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Keep your eyes closed, please. I'm going to pray a prayer now. And if you want to invite Jesus into all areas of your life for the very first time, or if you've invited him before and want to invite him in again, just repeat it after me, the words of this prayer in the quiet of your heart, in your mind, or if you'd like to say them out loud quietly, but just as you feel comfortable. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross to pay the price for my sins. Sorry for ignoring you in my life. Please come into the whole of my life as my Lord and Savior, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. You're welcome to open your eyes. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, please come and tell Zsuzsa or myself at the end of the service so we can celebrate with you. We're going to have a time of sun worship now that includes words inviting God the Holy Spirit to fill us with his presence, to be more aware of his presence. So don't be anxious if during this time you feel overwhelmed by God's love. If tears fall, if you feel God is speaking to you about something in your life, maybe bringing healing to hurts or comfort to pain. And be encouraged and blessed if God gives you a new prayer language for you to use to speak to him. He's a loving God who wants to connect with his church, to connect with us as individuals. If you want to stand in worship, please stand. If you want to sit in worship, please sit. Use this time of worship to reconnect or to connect for the first time with God, the Holy Spirit. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Move among us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us to connect with you one to one and as your church. Come and have your way amongst us this morning, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.